Skylar Baylor became the first openly transgender NCAA Division I athlete when he started swimming for Harvard in 2015. Baylor has been swimming his whole life, and he's broken multiple records over his career. He grew up in Virginia and was recruited to swim on Harvard's women's team in 2013. But after coming out as transgender, he instead was invited to swim for the men's team. He's been involved in writing inclusion guides for both LGBTQ and Asian American athletes and travels around the country to talk to others about his life and experiences. For The Confluence, 90.5 WESA's Katie Blackley sat down with Baylor during a recent trip to Pittsburgh.
You were one of the top female swimmers in the country in high school. Then in 2013, you took a gap year and came out as transgender. Can you talk a bit about your journey?
Sure, yeah. I think that sport has been one of the focuses of my journey for most of my life. And so when I came out, I was really afraid that being transgender was going to lose me my sport. And I kind of felt like I had to choose between being myself and being myself, because being a swimmer is such a big part of my identity. But I turned out to have very supportive coaches at Harvard who recruited me and actually offered me a spot on the men's team when I told them that I identified as a trans man. And then ended up after a sort of a lot of deciding to take that. But being a very successful female athlete definitely held me back initially from jumping at the at that opportunity to be on the men's team, because I was worried about losing all that potential success. But I ended up making the decision to be on the men's team because I knew that I wanted to be myself. And there was this sort of risk that I was going to have to take in that space to be happy while, you know, giving up all of these other potential successes and see if that was enough. And it was. Mm-hmm.
Did you have LGBTQ role models growing up?
I had a lot of out gay teachers in my school. We were a very progressive school, but I had no really trans representation and none in sport. And so I kind of concluded that there was no LGBTQ athletes, and that made me feel like I had to hide my identity in terms of athletics. And that's why I've chosen to be so open about myself, is to prove to young athletes, especially young trans swimmers, because those are sort of very dear to my heart, that this is absolutely possible and that your identity as an LGBTQ person does not ever have to rob you of your sport or any passion.
You often talk about how your family was pretty accepting when you came out, but that your grandmother asked you to make a promise to her. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. In a quick summary, my grandmother is a Korean conservative Catholic immigrant, and I was very afraid to come out to her. But when I did, she was not only incredibly accepting, but she did ask me to make a promise. And she said, she basically outlined, okay, so you can be a boy and a brother and a boyfriend and all these things. But in Korean culture, Korean daughters take care of their parents. And your mother and your parents have no more daughters. It's still your responsibility, Skylar, to take care of your parents. And so I actually have those words tattooed underneath my mastectomy scar. It says Pumo Hyodo, which in Korean means take care of your parents, written in her handwriting as a tattoo, as sort of this eternal promise, as she puts it, to take care of my parents. And it's sort of a tribute to my history.
A lot of LGBT people unfortunately don't have support when they come out. What advice would you give to young people who are maybe nervous about discussing their sexual orientation or gender identity?
The number one thing I tell folks who feel like they don't have support, there's two things. The first is, when you're coming out, I think being clear, concise, and confident, regardless of whether or not you feel those things, is really important, because the way you present yourself is often the way people receive you. And that sort of mirroring of emotions is just how humans interact. And so I think it's important to present yourself in that way, if that makes sense. The second thing is about the response. And I always tell kids, especially young folks, that if somebody invalidates you, it doesn't mean that you are actually invalid. It means that person is acting out of ignorance. It means that they're mean. It means they're acting in malice. They had a bad day. It means a lot about who they are and nothing about who that kid is, right? So if somebody tells me that I'm a woman, it means a lot about this other person and not a lot about me. I'm still a man. And it's really important to be able to validate yourself in those moments, because this world can be really cruel sometimes.
You're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Katie Blackley, and I'm talking to Skylar Baylor. When you first started college, the women's coach at Harvard talked to you about competing as a man on the men's team. What was that conversation like?
Steph, the women's coach, Stephanie Morawski at Harvard, had talked to the men's coach and sort of presented her with this situation that she had with me. And Kevin, the men's coach, basically said, okay, so you have somebody who identifies as male and wants to swim at Harvard and is already accepted into Harvard. And I, Kevin, I coach a men's swim team at Harvard. So why doesn't he swim for me? And I always say that I think that it's very logical and simple the way he put it, and he made it sound simple, but the reality is that it was not nearly as simple in terms of like Division I sports, the NCAA, the socio-political climate of this country, the fact that this guy has never interacted with a trans person before, and he's all like, of course, bring the trans kid. It's a pretty amazing proposition. And so they brought that to me in Steph's office and gave me that sort of opportunity.
Were you surprised by the reactions of your teammates?
Yeah, I was absolutely surprised by the readiness for them to accept me. I think a lot of them were open about their confusion and sort of just like response of, hey, I don't know anything about this. But I was totally cool with that because I didn't know anything about it before either. And I was totally down to give them the space to not understand. I was looking for that love and I was looking for that acceptance. And they were ready to be there with me. They just were also ready to ask questions. And I was like, great, let's talk about it.
So much of swimming has to do with the capability of your individual body. And I'm wondering, for a transgender person, what it was like the first time you got in the water during a men's race.
Gosh, I don't even think I can remember or distinguish the first race I swam as male itself, because in the end, all of the races are me, you know, shooting through the water and trying to swim. And I don't think that I could tell you at that specific moment. And maybe that's meaningful in that, you know, in the end, we are all just bodies swimming. And I think that's the one reason that the main reason that I love the sport of swimming is because I'm no longer this like gendered person. I'm just a body swimming.
Mm-hmm. You're very open during your Q&As. You often encourage the crowd to ask you anything, no limits, no boundaries. And articles and discussions about transgender people so often focus on like the medical issues of things, like top surgery and hormone replacement therapy, which feels incredibly invasive. Do you mind talking about all of that, or do you think that conversation should be framed differently?
I don't mind talking about it in these spaces because I think it's really important to educate folks on what this all looks like, because they don't get that anywhere else. You don't learn about trans folks in education when you're growing up because people don't teach you, and I knew nothing. And I don't think it's wrong for folks to be curious. I think about it as if, you know, if you're five and you don't know about something, you're going to ask about it. And so if you get taught about it, you start growing up and you start responding differently. You start not asking the right, the same questions. All of us in these rooms are five with respect to being to trans stuff, right? Because we weren't educated. So we stuck around at five. And so I'm okay with that, those questions. What I also say though at every event is you can ask me these questions, but you probably shouldn't ask other folks these questions. The reason being is this is a space designated specifically for this kind of learning. But other spaces are not designated for those learning. They're designated for being friends with people and having a relationship with persons. So you need to be careful and cognizant of where you're invading somebody's privacy and where you're learning about a group of people that you didn't know about before.
Mm-hmm. What have you enjoyed about touring the country and talking to people about your life?
The unexpected. So I think when I meet with folks that surprise me, and I'm like, wow, I have no idea what brought you here, but I'm so glad that you are here in this moment. And usually those are cisgender, straight folks who are just excited to learn or who took a chance on difference and decided to come. Those are the life-changing moments for me because it shows me that that change is absolutely possible and it's happening, right? It's not just possible, but it's happening. And those are the things that bring me to tears, the things that really mean a lot to me. There was a moment this week that I met a kid who was part of a big team at his school, like a sports team. And he took the initiative to come up on stage and tell everybody, hey, I actually was really afraid before I came here because all of you all are, you know, from these GSAs, you are all LGBTQ, and I'm not, and I was afraid. And I'm here, and actually everybody's so inviting, and I actually realized that we're all the same. I almost cried on stage listening to him because that's what we need. We need people who might see us as different coming and realizing, hey, we're actually all humans together.
So what's next for you?
I'm going to be finishing this tour. So we've got 3 weeks left, 3 weeks and a day left of the national tour. And after that, I'm going to be moving to Seattle where I have a job teaching emotional intelligence skills to the employees at a financial services company.
That's Skylar Baylor speaking with 90.5 WESA's Katie Blackley. Baylor is the first openly transgender swimmer to compete in NCAA Division I sports.